The University Tower Chimes bring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Let me introduce to you our panel for today. She lives next to a haunted house. It's Professor Danielle Maxwell.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. 2026.
Never thought we'd see it. Here we are.
Well, in a lot of ways, that is very true, actually. Very, very true. So the house never had a light on before, but now it sometimes does.
Now it sometimes does, and it's only the upstairs, and it just has a light on, and you can't really see through the windows or anything, and the backyard is overgrown. It has a ladder on the ground. It has not moved. The garage has never opened, and I've never seen a soul in this house, and sometimes packages get delivered, and they disappear like 3 or 4 days later. So I'm convinced that nefarious activities occur in that house, but now there's a light. For the first time in 4 or 5 months, there's a light.
That's so weird.
They're using the packages.
I guess so.
You want me to stop on over? I'll throw a stone in, bust out a window. We'll see who chases me.
The windows are already busted. Like, it's already there for you. You're 5 steps ahead.
All right, so much for that.
This show does not condone violence or vandalism.
No.
We are curious.
Why don't you send in like a scout snake?
Yeah, like what about scientific inquiry? I mean,
yes.
Scientific.
You know the house.
I do.
Does it look abandoned?
No,
I mean, it doesn't not look abandoned.
It's not any worse than the house I had next door to me forever.
I was going
to
say, and next in line to be introduced, Professor Dave Chow, who also used to live next to a haunted house.
I wouldn't say haunted, just kind of creepy.
But were there people there?
Not all the time. For 17 years, it laid vacant.
Oh, my.
17 years 17 is a long time.
We kept on having the fear of I would come home one night and seeing somebody, you know, like squatting in the living room over
right.
a fire or something
right.
like that.
Exactly.
That was our fear.
Yikes is all I have to
say. It didn't happen.
There's someone on Wiltshire that had their tree chopped down, and now they just have this giant burn hole in the tree trunk. But it's like on this, like, you know, where the grass meets the road.
Yes.
And so for the last few days that I've been driving home from work, they're just burning this tree stump, and they're just, the whole family's just standing around the tree stump on the side of the road. And I'm like, why are you burning the tree stump on the side of the road?
There are actually laws about that.
There are.
I don't know. I don't know why they're
doing this. Can't also the fire get into the roots, and the roots can smolder for... Am I overthinking or thinking
no,
of a different scenario?
No, you've got it correctly.
No, I think that's the right scenario.
You could actually continue to have a fire underground for days.
Yes. When I drive home, I will inform them that they should not be
tell them,
it.
Ask the professor, Phil. Like you,
yes.
Or those Pennsylvania
you
tire
You have not
fires.
Chosen wisely.
You have chosen poorly. Professor Aaron Bell is here with us, who apparently lives very close to a house that gets rammed into all the time.
That is true. I am at an intersection which is not a square perpendicular.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just off center, just enough. And I have seen multiple accidents. And I think I've been in my house for about 12 years now. And in that time, I've seen 3 or 4 times where cars have crashed into this house. Finally, the owners must have had enough, and they put these huge boulders,
mm-hmm.
like they're like Aww. Giant, like dinosaur size.
So there'll be something else to hit
exactly,
before the house.
So
it's the Dukes of Hazzard ramp.
It is. Wow. Well, it is. It's the corridor right to I-75, so there's a lot of wacky driving over there.
There is, and I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
We have a similar intersection at 11 in one of the side streets near the corner of Woodward and
yes.
Berkeley, and they put a whole bunch of huge boulders because
they
couldn't handle everybody hitting their house anymore. No, it's true. Professor Jim Tubbs is also here.
Hello, hello.
What do you live next to, Jim?
Nothing as exciting as you do. Nothing has run into my front door or, you know, even knocked down the carport. You
knock
know?
On wood. That's
yeah.
great.
Survived
I think that's great
so
news.
Far.
Yeah, so far
you
so
You haven't
good.
Had kitties try and come live with you?
Oh, kitties.
Not lately, no.
Oh, okay.
My son returned home from a bike ride last weekend and did something that no Mayo family person ever does, which is attempt to use the front door to the house. However, it's always locked, and he's knocking, and we go and we let him in. What the heck is your problem? Well, the neighborhood cat is back on our deck, and he's standing right where I need to walk to get to the door. So I just decided not to, you know,
which
was not
going to
challenge
him.
The cat.
The calico-ish one.
Oh,
I think his name is Jack or Mac or
Max.
Something like that.
Max.
Yeah, Max. Okay.
It's Max.
You have a pet.
No, I mean,
and you named the cat after me.
A lot of people. A lot of people have that cat.
No, he visits us too. So.
Yeah, he visits everybody.
Everybody.
Is it you or Leslie or the kids who have the allergies that prevent you?
It's me primarily, but Enzo a little bit as well.
It's so kind of you.
Yeah, but I just thought it was funny because then I looked out the window and the cat was very nicely sort of stood up right where you would take the steps to go onto our deck and get to the back door. So he made the right choice. You don't want to agitate.
Is he a friendly cat?
He's mostly a friendly cat. He's very, very friendly with the skunks that live in our neighborhood, which is another problem.
That's okay. Another issue altogether.
Yeah.
Give him food.
Professor Dan Maggio is here. I can only wonder how he'll answer the question of whatever haunted, crashed into, or possibly not even it exciting at all house.
There's nothing. Our street is very quiet.
It's very quiet, isn't it?
And except for animals, we have great neighbors. Yep. We haven't had any incidents at all.
There you go.
That sounds a little too creepy, normal. A little.
No empty houses, no bad neighbors.
Dan, the worst incident in your neighborhood I was a part of was that time you were sick. I brought over chicken noodle soup. I dropped it in your street. The bottom.
That's right. That's right. Oh. That was a couple Decembers ago.
Was it from Westbourne?
Yes.
Of course it was.
Damn good
that or Costco.
So I'm sorry I don't have anything to share.
That's okay. I mean, it's a nice place where you live. You know, it's what could I say? It's Berkeley. Professor Beth Oljar is here. And the only thing you live next to is hundreds and hundreds of trick-or-treaters. So.
That is true, although I'm not convinced how many of them actually live in the neighborhood.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Do we have to ask for ID next year?
People bring their kids from all over everywhere.
Are they aliens?
I don't think so.
I mean, some were dressed like aliens. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. It's been a while since we've had some chocolate questions.
Oh,
if you stump the panel, you'll receive a brand new edition of the Ask the Professor coffee mug. Dan is using it right now.
He is?
And you won't get that one.
Oh,
but,
that's an old edition.
Yeah.
That's vintage.
We'll get you an autographed photograph of the profs. If you don't stump the panel, we'll still send you the autographed photograph.
Tell them we'll send them a used cup with coffee dripping down the side, lipstick on the...
used mug.
That looks well used, Dan.
You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. You can listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. You could reach out into the ether.
Has anyone tried the smart speaker?
I do it at home every once in a while just to see what episode.
Hear yourself talk?
No, I do not listen to myself. I just want to make sure that everything is, you know, prim and proper with the world.
We are prim and proper, folks.
Uh-huh.
Dear professors, here's a little quiz I threw together with questions from all over the place. You don't have to answer with a question, but I think on Jeopardy they'd call this potpourri. Potpourri category.
Potpourri.
8 out of 10 is passing. Enjoy. Sincerely, a secret admirer.
That is tough.
Parentheses. Who knows where you live?
Oh,
no. This is not good.
This is making me think of the scene in Wednesday where Pugsley actually ate the potpourri in the therapist's office. And thought
oh,
yes. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Cracked me up.
That is awesome.
It makes wonderful tea.
Okay. Where could you find all of these things together? My car, my shirt, your party, my land.
What? Your car.
My car.
As in your car.
My shirt.
Your party. The flex.
My land.
Is this a game?
It's a little bit of a lateral, if you don't mind.
Is it an app?
Think
of
an app? It's not an app. No.
My shirt.
It's not like Squid Game or...
No. It's not.
So there's a thread that connects all.
Where could you find these things together? My car, my shirt, your party, my land. It will make perfect sense when I reveal it.
I kept on waiting for my Sharona.
Is it a song?
It is a song.
Okay.
It's my party and I'll cry if I want to or something.
No.
But it is a song.
In the USA?
It is a song.
It is a song.
Ballad of the Cherokee Nation.
Mm-mm. Great song.
Billy Joel?
It's not Billy Joel. I'd say it was crossover 80s, 90s. I mean, it's in that zone. Mm-hmm.
Say again one more time.
Yeah.
My car, my shirt, your party, my land.
Little Red Court Party, like it's 1999. Is it Prince?
Nope, it's not Prince.
Some song that references America?
One hit wonder of the most epic possibility.
Buggles? Video Kill the Radio Star?
Nope.
Rick Astley?
Is it the Scottish duo?
Milli Vanilli?
It's not the Scottish duo. It's not Milli Vanilli.
Oh, the Proclaimers.
Proclaimers. Proclaimers. Not Proclaimers.
It's not like the It's My Party and I'll Cry If I Want To song?
Nope, that's what Dan thought.
No, that was 60s. Yeah. Leslie Gore.
So I could give you the performer, but you'll get it immediately.
Oh, is it Weird Al Yankovic?
It's not Weird Al.
No,
he's
had multiple hits.
Midnight Runners.
It's not Dixie.
Not Bo Burnham?
No, no.
Did you say Bo Burnham?
We're throwing things at the wall at this point. Anything's going to stick.
It's like spaghetti.
So if I tell you that the performance, I mean, it was a group, as they all were back then, but they just had a name. It wasn't exactly one person. Was Right Said Fred. You'd say,
I'm too sexy.
Too sexy for my shirt.
Right.
I'm too sexy.
Sexy for my car, my shirt, your party, and my land. That is the way.
Excellent. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'm watching West Wing over again, and there's actually an episode where CJ is listening to that song.
You said so many sentences today that I didn't think you were going to say.
Do not quote me.
As soon as you said Right Said Fred, not as I say.
Mm-hmm. I'll quote you off the air.
There's an episode on The Simpsons in which Bart and his friends Milhouse Nelson and Ralph Wiggum become a popular boy band. One of their songs, Even Et Nuages, has a subliminal message. What is the message trying to get you to do?
Eat at Krusty's or something. I forget.
This is the best.
Oh, enlist in the, isn't it like enlist in
You've
the,
got it.
Enlist in the Marines.
In
or
the Navy.
Navy
to get you to join the Navy. So what? Yvonne Et Nuages, yes. Join the Navy backwards. And all I remember from this episode is they finally discovered that the boy band was generated just to recruit people to the Navy. It's like, you know, what are your recruitment tactics? He's like, well, we've got the subliminal. The liminal and the superliminal. It's like superliminal. The guy leans out the window. Hey, idiot, join the Navy. That makes me laugh every single time.
That's good.
Even Et Nuages. What Civil War general is memorialized in a statue on Belle Isle? That's a good trivia question. You should know this.
Civil War general?
Yeah.
It's not Polakowski. It's something like.
It's not Polish, though. It's not a Polish sounding name. Mm-mm. I thought the same thing that you were thinking of, Thaddeus Kosciuszko,
yes,
but that's not who it
that
is.
That was the Revolutionary War.
Initials ASW, who was later elected to Congress, not Arthur,
Andrew.
And ran unsuccessfully for governor of the great state of Michigan.
Andrew?
Mm-mm. The first name is the one that's going to be a little harder to come by.
Aloysius.
I mean, you're in the zone with Aloysius, but that's not it.
Oh.
You're close. Yeah.
Alonzo.
His first name was Alpheus.
Alpheus.
Mm-hmm. Alpheus Starkey Williams, elected to Congress and ran unsuccessfully for governor. Yep. Alpheus.
I presume he fought for the Union.
I would guess.
You would think.
The UAW or the AFL-CIO?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh. Where would we find these four things put together? Literary value, artistic value, political value, scientific value.
Beth's class.
I was going to say, it sounds like Beth's syllabus.
The core curriculum, actually, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Is that some kind of rating scale?
It is. Oh. I mean, you're inferring very well. It's a rating scale from 1973. A very important decision was made.
Comics code?
Oh. Not the comics code.
Obscenity and pornography?
It is. It's the definition of obscenity. Oh. Yes, that's right. Miller versus California. Yep. To this day, we call it the Miller test.
Hmm.
Does it have any literary value, artistic, political, or scientific value?
That's I always thought George Carlin made that all up.
No, those are the seven dirty words.
Thank you, Beth, for taking the bonus question right out of my mouth. What are the two prongs of the Miller test? Would the average person applying contemporary community standards find the work taken as a whole appeal to the prurient interest?
Whoa.
She knew it off the top of her head.
Impressive.
That's awesome.
I was thinking of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It wasn't because I've read Miller v. California.
Oh, but that's okay.
I don't
that's
know
okay.
that I have.
Mm-hmm. What are the four weapons utilized by the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Nunchucks.
A sword.
Katana.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Not hammer.
He's the leader.
Bone arrow.
Is it like a stick?
Is it a bone arrow?
Aaron's singing the theme song.
Goop. I don't know.
Don't they have stars? Don't they have the
I think they all do.
Stars?
Ninja stars?
So far, all I have is nunchuck and the katana sword.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Nunchuck.
There's not like a stick.
Not a bone arrow?
No, but there is a bow.
Crossbow.
So a bow is a staff. It's
okay,
just a
staff.
Stick.
See, a stick. I've been saying stick, yeah.
And the very, very short daggers known as...
Throwing knives.
Mm-mm.
Oh, not Ginsu either.
A stiletto.
The katana is the long sword or the short
katana
sword?
Katana is the long sword. The short sword, it starts with the letter S.
Haven't you seen Kill Bill Volume 1?
It's very Kill Bill. Let's be serious. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's from... feudal samurai society, so I should know it from Shogun.
Do we actually name the dagger?
They do. In Japanese, they're called Sai. S-A-I.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's what Elektra uses, too.
Oh, Elektra. Yes. Oh, that's right. And of course, Dave would know that. Absolutely.
The little crescent fleur-de-lis thing.
According to the Book of Revelation, what are the four colors of the four horses of the four horsemen of the apocalypse?
Pardon red.
Me. Black, red is white, blue. Red, and
black.
Tutti frutti.
White, red, black, and?
Green.
Mm-mm.
Blue.
Fuchsia.
This is hard because it's not a traditional color word.
Pantone but number.
It's not a Pantone. Plum. No. It's not a traditional color.
Aubergine,
word.
No?
Aubergine.
Aubergine, yes.
Mud?
The apocalyptic horse of fashion.
Only after they get bruised up.
Right, right. So I'm putting this together based on my, hardcore religious training here. I'm pretty sure red was war. I'm pretty sure black was death. Pretty sure white
pestilence?
Was
which
pestilence.
Which one was famine?
Oh, right. Famine is the one that we're missing. Thank you very much.
Okay, and what color is famine?
Kind of greenish.
I'm giving it to Dan for green because it's only described as very pale is all it says.
Very pale.
Like kind of sickly, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Gross.
Gross. Yeah, gross.
Gross
right.
stuff. What do these famous pop songs have in common other than being all recorded in the last century? Known as the 1900s. Love is a Many Splendored Thing, 1951. Mm-hmm. December 1963, from 1975. Mm-hmm. Baby, I Need Your Lovin', 1964. What's Up, 1992. More commonly known as, of course, What's Going On.
Marvin Gaye.
Were they all written by the same person?
Produced by the same person.
December
same label.
1963 is... Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, What a Night.
Oh, What a Night.
So you're
yes.
really close with that little bit right there. That is a true statement.
But Love is a Many Splendored Thing. 51. That's
who they're sung by?
Nope. I mean, yes, it is, but not because it's the same person. Yeah, sorry.
Same guitar, same it's drummer,
Marvin Gaye
same house.
What's going on?
Well,
same recording studio.
What's Up 1992, more commonly known as What's Going On. That wasn't Marvin Gaye,
oh,
right?
Oh, it's not. Well, that's
Four Non Blondes.
Oh, you're getting close. Beth said Four Seasons. You said
Four
Non Blondes.
Okay.
Who did Baby, I Need Your Lovin'?
The Four Tops.
Four Tops?
Oh, all fours.
Who performed Love is a Many Splendored Thing?
The Andrews Sisters?
No.
Four Seasons? I don't know.
Four something.
Four Freshmen?
The Four Aces.
Four Aces.
Yes,
not the Fantastic Four. So.
No, not the Fantastic Four. That's right. I just love December 1963 from 1975.
Yeah. That's actually one of my favorite songs.
That's a good
it's
jam.
It's a great song.
Really
I just
good
love
song.
The way it looks when you read it off of the paper. It's very confusing. What is the object of the game Connections in the New York Times?
To build the connections.
The thread.
To group four things by a theme.
I love that game.
Mm-hmm.
So do I. I love
the
it.
Increasing difficulty.
Some days it's really hard.
The worst ones are the visual ones.
Yeah.
I hate it when the New York Times online says you can get a free account and read anything. Like,
no, they can't lie.
I've downloaded the New York Times app and I'm not getting all the stuff you...
Definitely cannot do that.
You can also play games from the Atlantic.
Well, I get that more with the Post than I do with the Times.
Yeah, it's $25 a year. This isn't so bad for...
Some articles from the New York Times you can get for free.
But I can never get beyond anybody's firewall.
The thing about Connections that always blurs things for me is when it's all, well, the middle three letters of each of these words is a part of the body.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
My brain does not work that way. It's just
mine doesn't either.
Yeah.
Can't hold all that in
if
one.
If you remove the first letter and replace it with a T, all of these words are words.
Exactly. Exactly. I usually get one of them, and then I just give my phone to Leslie, like, here, finish this.
Did she do it?
Absolutely. She's actually really good at it. Although I got to say, Danielle, at the beginning of this semester, turned me on to Bracket City.
Oh, I love Bracket City.
Bracket City from the Atlantic is a great quiz game, and it's very doable every day. You have to look it up.
Okay.
I will not say anything more. Look up Bracket City. Play
you
it on your phone.
You don't need to pay for the Atlantic to access it.
No, you don't.
Oh,
it's very, very fun.
It's on an app.
It's a word game, but in a fun way.
Okay.
What do these four words have in common?
English.
Seems to be
their words.
A thing throughout this secret admirer who knows where we live question set. Dung, stag,
Beatles.
Japanese, ladybird.
Yeah, all Beatles.
They're
Beatles.
All Beatles.
Yeah. I was waiting for like Ringo.
I know, exactly.
And the VW bug. Yes, that's exactly right. How many ways to leave your lover are described in the Paul Simon song
50.
50 Ways to Leave Your Lover?
Okay.
Now I'm going to repeat the question because 50 is incorrect.
Okay.
How many ways to leave your lover are described in Paul Simon's song 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover?
You have to know all the lyrics.
Oh, but in the chorus.
That's right.
That's where... So four.
Make a new plan.
Oh, so how many does he actually list in the song?
How many?
20.
Nope.
39.
Gus.
Gotta get on the bus, Gus.
So far, Beth is almost there.
I think 7.
12.
Hang on. Just sing Gus, 8. Roy. Who else did he leave?
So Beth said 4, and I'm giving it to her. It's 5.
Nice. Good work.
Okay, so you're good.
Why does the song have 50 then in the title?
Well, it's the name of the song.
That's the title of the song.
It's like going to a movie that says The Never-Ending Story. You know, it's like...
It really does end. Yes.
Thankfully.
Thank God, yes.
I have a very good joke that I'll tell Erin about later because I think she's going to like it. From the song.
Oh.
You can slip out the back, Jack.
That's right.
Make a new plan, Stan.
Oh, I know the song.
Don't need to be coy, Roy.
Hop on the bus, Gus. Yeah. Drop off the key, Lee, is the last one. Yes. So that's
I have heard this.
Yeah, you've heard that song before.
It's a great song.
It's a montage.
Paul Simon.
Paul Simon's a great songwriter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So let's play $10,000 Pyramid here. We got a couple minutes left.
Oh, goodness.
It'll be fun.
It's a great way to start off the year.
Is there what?
Is there money involved?
No, but Michael Strahan is involved, so we're doing good. Okay. You're like, huh? He is the host of the $100,000
He's just going to walk in the door now.
Well, for those of us, Dick Clark.
Yeah, exactly. Dick Clark from back in the day. So, Erin, you've seen the show before where a celebrity, usually a Q-list celebrity and a player, have a little box, and basically they have to describe things
without using their hands or anything.
Right. And you just have to guess what it is. And we're not going to use any timer or anything. We're just going to go around. Each of you will get a different clue from me because someone sent these in to punish me as well.
Oh, wow.
So now we got Strat Matt in, so he doesn't use his hands and gesture. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. And he also likes to think out loud. So if you hear words that don't fit in there.
Six clues.
So Matt Mayo goes into bondage.
Mm-hmm. So we'll go start with Danielle, and we'll see how this goes.
Oh, goodness.
I don't want to get too far away from the microphone here. I don't know where my class is. How do I find my professor's office?
Things students say on the first week of school.
Just any student. Where is this room?
New students.
Yeah, what a freshman might say.
Yeah, okay.
So that's pretty good.
Okay. Oh,
okay, Dave, this is perfect for you. Sometimes these all line up. I think Jim had like ocean liners once. You know,
what?
Hockey players.
For Dave, I will go Germac. I will say...
Snack foods?
Not snack foods. Kowalski.
Detroit foods.
Yes, Detroit-based food brands.
Okay. I got a food one. Oh, man.
Okay.
No pressure.
That was easy, though.
That was an easy category.
Don't furrow your brow just yet. Y'all do fine. We have faith in you.
You look so anxious.
So I'm going to cover like all sides of this here. So how about Ferndale and also Rochester... And also Bloomfield and Bloomfield Township, Berkeley, Huntington Woods, Oak Park, Warren.
Oakland County.
Yeah, you got it. Cities of Oakland County. Okay. Yeah, you got
it. Warren is in Macomb County.
It is?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Sorry. Easy. Okay, I thought it was like something much more like...
Where the heck is the eastern border? I can't even think of it right now.
Like John R. DeQuinder.
Yeah.
Oh, for Pete's
sake.
Sterling Heights.
I'm
so
sorry.
DeQuinder,
yeah.
Like Warren is definitely Macomb.
I know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, no, all right.
The biggest city in Macomb County.
Third biggest city in the state.
No, you did okay. I mean,
I thought it was like something more complicated.
No,
like,
no. Oh, no.
We're just trying to have some fun. And watch me, you know...
Sweat.
Watch you stumble a little bit. Okay.
For Jim.
Okay.
A dry erase marker, a microphone, a podium.
Things in a classroom?
A table?
Things in a studio.
Dry erase. Risers with chairs on them. The problem is you said classroom and you're like close.
A lecture hall.
It's a lecture hall is what it says here. Yeah. So, you know, I mean.
Partial credit.
Yep.
The judge might not give it to him.
This is totally random. I literally just chose one of these lists. So, Dan, I'm just giving you a warning ahead of time. Let's see.
You've been randomized, Dan.
Yep. Oh, gosh. I got to think about this one a little bit ahead of time.
Definitely.
I'm drawing a blank. I gotta check something on my phone real quick.
If the people can only do something stupid, I'm sweating right about now.
No, is this a clue, or are you really doing this?
No, he's got to think up the clues. You see?
I thought maybe that was the clue.
No.
They just told him the word.
He has to think of the clue.
He's so stumped that he needs
If this
Google
was 60 seconds, he passed right about now. So
the guy from Saturday Night Live, who played one of the Ghostbusters, stick close here. The kid who originally played Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that played James Bond in the last iteration. Famous Irish actor, My Left Foot. Wrote The Da Vinci Code. Wrote
this is
Angels
funny.
And Demons.
Daniel Craig, Tom Brown.
Famous quarterback for the Dolphins.
Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, and uh-huh. And you,
famous. I'm not famous, so I
famous what enough. Famous.
What do all of those names have in
they
common?
They have last name begin with an M.
No.
Is it Italians? No.
Aykroyd, Radcliffe, Craig,
Brown.
This is not a joke.
Marino.
It just randomly ended up for you.
Maggio.
Maggio.
So they all start with Dan. They're all Dans. Dan. My next one was going to be Danny DeVito, but it's a Danny, not a...
Which one did you have to look up? Could you not come up with a single Dan?
No. When I look at something ridiculous. Like that, I totally blanked, and you type something out into AI, and they gave me 275 famous Dans. I'm like, all I had was Aykroyd, and I'm not just going to do Aykroyd and Maggio.
All right.
We'll finish things off with Beth, and then I'm afraid the time has come for us to take 2026 head on here. A wreath, a tree, some garland, ornaments.
Christmas tree.
Christmas. What do all those things have in common? A candle, maybe? Some lights outside?
They're all Christmas decorations.
Decorations, okay. Yeah, there you go. All right.
I was trying to get this as decorations.
The sparkles.
What am I missing here?
This is a lot harder than it looks, is all I'm going to say right now. It's a lot harder than it looks.
So next time, should somebody else do it?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Danielle can do it.
Next year,
I can't do this?
Yes,
somebody
can.
Else
no way.
Is doing this.
We are,
absolutely.
We are the next year. What are you talking about?
I know. I'm talking about 2027 at this point.
Oh, good grief.
Professors, I'm so sorry. The time has come to say goodbye. Beth.
Goodbye.
Dan.
What's my name?
Jim.
Farewell.
Aaron.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
And Danielle.
Adios.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.